I love all things health and wellness. That's no surprise if you are listening to this podcast and if you follow me online. And one of the things that I absolutely love to incorporate into my health and wellness routine is red light therapy. I love red light therapy. I have used it for quite some time now, and I have absolutely noticed a difference, especially when it comes to my skin and repairing collagen and just making it look young and youthful. I had the opportunity to interview the co-founders of Kala Red Light Therapy, and I learned so much about the benefits of doing red light. It helps with improving your cognitive function. Like I said, it helps with your skin health. It helps with collagen production. It just makes the skin look so youthful and dewy and plump. But it also helps with better sleep, combating anxiety and depression, reducing inflammation, increasing your libido, boosting your energy, and stimulating your hair growth. Right now, Kala Red Light is giving all Balance Your Life podcast listeners 10% off site-wide when you use code BALANCE by Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, at checkout. There are so many big people online who are talking about the benefits of using red light therapy. Listen to the podcast episode, learn how it can help benefit you, learn about Kala Red Light and how their products are superior to other products that are out on the market, and you can save 10% off and support the show by using code BALANCE by Megan at checkout. You can also use the link in the show notes. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Welcome, beautiful souls. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. And today is an episode that if you love wellness, if you love learning all about health optimization and how to be your healthiest self, you are going to love this podcast episode. You have likely seen this drink lately all over my Instagram stories. I've been taking it in preparation for this podcast interview. And today I am joined by the CEO and co-founder of HVMN, Michael Brandt. Michael is the CEO and co-founder of HVMN, the creators of Ketone IQ. The goal is to bring ketones, nature's superfuel, from elite performers to the mainstream, and is backed by a $6 million contract from the U.S. military. Michael majored in computer science and product design at Stanford before going the entrepreneurial route. He is an avid triathlete and holds a 2:42 personal record for the marathon. Michael currently lives with his wife and daughter in Los Angeles, California. On this episode, we talk about ketones, what they are and how they relate to health optimization, and the benefits of consuming them. We also discuss plant medicine, as well as nootropics and biohacks for lifestyle performance and health, and so much more. Michael and the HVMN team have generously given all Balance Your Life podcast listeners 10% off their products online when you use code BALANCE by Megan, all one word, M-E-G-H-A-N. I will make sure that that is linked in the show notes for you, but after you listen to this podcast episode, I know you are going to want to check them out online. You can refer to the studies that Michael has talked about on there to see how much these ketones can benefit you. I've been taking the Ketone IQ drink, and like I said, in the podcast episode, you're going to listen to the benefits that it has done for me. And you can support the show and save 10% off when you use code BALANCE by Megan at checkout on their products online. Go check out the Ketone IQ drink. I do not think you will be disappointed with it. And I think you are going to love this podcast episode and learn so much about health and wellness in general, about ketones, about biohacks, about all the things. With that being said, please keep in mind this episode is not meant to act as medical advice. You are always encouraged to be your own advocate and to do your own research. With that, please welcome CEO and co-founder of HVMN, Michael Brandt, to the Balance Your Life podcast. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Michael. I'm so excited to have you on.
It's so good to be here, Megan. Thanks for making the time and really excited to have a great conversation today.
I would love if you could give our listeners a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining me from today.
Sure. Yeah, I'm calling from Los Angeles, California. I'm the CEO and co-founder of a company called Health Via Modern Nutrition. Our flagship product we make is called Ketone IQ. Rewinding the clock, I'm a computer science guy, systems thinker. I've always been interested in the edge between new technologies and like the user experience and product around it. I've been fascinated by the human body as a platform for innovation. I think if the smartphone was a platform for the last one or two decades, the human body is a platform for the next decade. We've been really evolving the human body as a platform over the last several years, and it's really picking up steam. Everyone, it seems like, is wearing a wearable or tracking their sleep or sending a cheek swab away to 23andMe. And I've been in the biohacker movement for the last decade, and it's been really interesting to see how it evolved. What became really interesting to me is metabolism, where everyone's doing metabolism all the time. If you rewind the clock 3, 4, 5 years ago, everyone was talking about keto diet, bulletproof coffee, intermittent fasting, all of these behavior modifications that you do to get your body to make a ketone. A lot of people know that when you stop eating sugar, carbohydrates in general, your body makes something called ketones. That was always really interesting to me. And my co-founder and I, we asked each other the kind of dumb/smart question of, hey, if everyone's putting butter in their coffee and fasting for days and doing all these things, you know, when you like endurance exercise, we're doing all these things to burn down our carbs or keep our carb stores low to begin with, to make our body make a ketone. And it turns out ketone has all these amazing properties as a metabolic fuel. Why can't you go to the store and buy a ketone? I can go to the store and buy collagen. I can buy omega-3, caffeine. There's all these other nutritional primitives. Why can't you get ketone in a bottle at the store? And pulling at that thread is really interesting. We saw that the United States Department of Defense, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, they do really cutting edge stuff. They had done in the early 2000s some amount of research into making a ketone, really basic understanding around what a ketone is, how it works. But it was very expensive, very crazy tasting. They basically left it on a shelf and it was collecting dust. And then in 2017, 18, my co-founder and I, when we were thinking about the keto diet, thinking about, hey, why can't you go to the store and buy a ketone? We basically picked that up and said, hey, what if we fundraise? What if we make 100,000 of these bottles of ketones? And that's exactly what we did. And then we got a multi-million-dollar contract back again with the Department of Defense with our version one ketone. And we've been working on that ever since. So leading up to this year where we launched our consumer grade. So we took everything that we've learned from the working with the DOD and we launched that into the consumer market in January of this year, brought down the price a lot, made it taste a lot better. And we're rocking and rolling. It's been great. It's been a crazy year. And we got a lot of people that are really into ketones, from Tour de France riders to apparently Gwyneth Paltrow has it in her fridge. Like, we've just been making a lot of splashes all around interesting different pockets of high-end performance, health and wellness. The goal is that this is not just like military special operator fuel, but this should be like a broader impact in health and wellness in general.
Yeah, I was reading, you know, on your website and everything, and there is a crazy amount of very influential people who are into your ketone IQ drink and everything. But even starting at the very start of your journey, like, why was this so important to you and to bring to the mass market? Have you always been into health and fitness? Was there a catalyst in your life that led you down this path? Like, what was that very start of that journey like for you?
For me, it was coming out of undergrad where I studied computer science and started getting really interested in my own performance optimization. Everyone's drinking coffee every day. Everyone's taking different substances that effectively are letting you pull different levers of how your mind and body work. That was always really interesting. And seeing at the same time that there's all these sensors and people are able to measure the outputs of their body. When I started doing it 5+ years ago, in order to get a continuous glucose monitor, you had to order it from like German eBay and wait 4 weeks in the mail. And now there's Levels and Sapiens and Nutrisense. And there's a bunch of companies that are doing interesting continuous glucose monitors. There's actually a continuous ketone monitor coming out. So the ability to measure our blood biomarkers, the ability to measure our heart rate variability via, you know, an Oura ring, the ability to measure our recovery score via a Whoop. We're really starting to see the human body as like an API, like a system where you're, another way to think about it is we've been driving with the dashboard lights off forever. And now all of a sudden you're starting to see what your gas level is and what your RPMs are and what speed you're going. And so we were just going in the dark before, maybe checking out with your doctor once a year. Maybe. And like, you're probably not even talking to your doctor that much about your diet and behavior. It's more, you know, clinical kinds of conversation. So seeing that this was taking off, and then look, personally, I got really into performance optimization almost by accident. Like I started looking at different startups I wanted to start. I had a corporate job. I worked at Google. I left and I wanted to start a startup, and I started taking nootropics and biohacking and like, hey, whatever startup I want to do, I want to be like 30% more dialed in for my work. And then it's like the hobby, the side project became the main project. This is like almost a decade ago at this point. And then just since then, I've been dabbling around with all sorts of, you know, I've done a 7-day long fast. I actually got really into marathoning. I run 6 minutes a mile for a marathon. It's like, I don't know, 4-ish minutes of the kilometer. Like I'm a advanced amateur endurance athlete. And I just really measured about everything I do. Like when I go for a run, I'll run as fast as I can without letting my heart rate exceed 140 BPM. And I'll be really dialed in about my nutrition and like the different types of training I do throughout the week. So I've always had this personal passion, and then putting that together like a puzzle piece with what we're building, really trying to do something new. I'm not just trying to make a better for you popcorn or like a, you know, incrementally better Twizzlers or whatever. I'm trying to make something that is a fundamentally new nutritional primitive where CBD, collagen, these are like $5 billion marks. These are like a lot of people take these things, but you know, a decade or two or three ago, people were not, CBD was not on the radar. Forward look is I think everyone's going to be drinking ketones. I think a significant amount of people are going to be drinking ketones directly because it's a lot of the same benefits of a low carb or keto diet, a lot easier to do. So you can stack it on top of a low carb healthy diet, or you can have it, you know, kind of whatever your diet is, it's a step in the right direction. So really exciting in the space, really fun spot to be in where, you know, a lot of people are really into it, but a lot of people have no idea what the heck we're talking about. So it's very, I feel like these are the good old days. It's like when Gatorade first launched Gatorade with the Florida Gators in the 1970s, like no one knew about electrolytes. And now here we are 50 years later, and it's like a household item.
So if anyone's hearing this word ketone and they're like, what in the world are they talking about? Can you explain a little bit more about what it is and what the benefits are of it?
Sure. Ketones are, in a sense, the oldest thing ever, where our body, the human body, is really good at making and using ketones. Even starting from when we're born, even 300,000 years ago, when you had the first humans, when you're born, humans are born with baby fat, and other primates do not have baby fat. Humans are unique among the primates. They're born with baby fat, and that fat gets digested along with breast milk, but that fat, along with the fat in breast milk, turns into ketones to cross the blood-brain barrier to supply our rapidly growing brain. Humans have the largest brain for our body mass, massive energy demands, especially when we're newborns and it's growing rapidly, but also through adulthood. Our brains require a lot of energy. We cannot always be eating carbohydrates. We cannot store that much carbohydrates. That's really the issue. You can store a couple of days of carbohydrates. So if you're on the savannah 100,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, you'd find some grains or some berries or whatever, but like your store in your body of glycogen is just only a couple of days versus fat. You can store 30 plus days of fat. And for a baby, especially, that's really important. Like if you cannot have access to food for a day or two, like our humans don't just keel over and die. We tap into our fat and we turn it into ketones. Fat doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. Important note, like fat itself cannot cross the blood-brain barrier. So we're really good at making ketones, and our brains especially are really good at using ketones. So the concept of being able to directly drink a ketone, it's basically this fuel that our bodies are really good at using that you now have access to directly in like a 10 gram shot. You just take a shot and you feel this nice lift. You feel dialed in, and it's really nice.
So what is it about us? Is it getting older? Is it just being part of the environment that limits us creating this in our own bodies? Like, is there something that we, as a society, we're just more heavy into sugars and that's depleting of it? Is it we're eating too many carbs and now our system is on overload? Like, why is it that our bodies struggle and that we need to be supplementing it?
There's a couple of factors of that. Look, there was no peanut butter cups on the savannah. That's a big part of this, is that you just did not have that 24/7, three meals a day plus snacks of highly processed carbs, right? When you have like breakfast cereal or candy, these highly processed carbs, they're taking something that's like maybe initially good for you. Like maybe just raw oatmeal is fine, or like a raw fruit is fine. But once you like take all of the fiber out of it and you just make it like pure sugar bomb, when you go and eat that, it spikes your blood glucose. The carbohydrates spike your blood glucose. And then what happens is when you have high blood glucose, in order to address that blood glucose, your body releases insulin. If you do that habitually, if you're always spiking your glucose for years and decades, eventually that insulin stops working. So you can think about it like hearing loss, or if you're always listening to loud music, you're going to eventually lose your hearing. It's kind of obvious that, you know, by the time you're 60, 70, maybe even younger, if you listen to a lot of music at a young age, like you can lose your hearing at 30, 40. And insulin resistance is the same way. If you're eating a lot of processed carbohydrates, especially sugary stuff, and especially if you're not active and burning that off as you're consuming it, then you end up with insulin resistance, which is also type 2 diabetes, which, like, I feel like every week I check the news, it's like insulin resistance is connected to a new disease. It's connected to Alzheimer's. It's connected to certain types of cancer. It's connected to all different metabolic diseases. It's connected to a lot of other like neurological, cardiovascular diseases like that. Insulin resistance is really bad. Humans are not supposed to be eating sugar all the time. So ketones are the opposite of sugar. They do not spike insulin at all. So you metabolize ketones without that insulin spike. And they're very metabolically efficient and effective. And they also make you less hungry. You have less sugar cravings when you have elevated ketone levels. So it's a very cool, it's like this thing that like feels good when you take it, and it also is good. So it's got this very like sticky loop to it, where it's feeling nice right away. And then like long-term, you're basically running your body on a more premium form of gas compared to sugar, if sugar is like dirty diesel fuel.
I would love if you could talk a little bit more about the benefits, because I was sent a sample from your company, and I will tell you what I felt afterwards, but I would love to know if you can talk about the benefits of it. I've only been doing it for a short amount of time, and I can already see the difference myself personally, but I'll let you explain that first, and then I'll give a little background of what I've been going through.
Yeah, there's a few different benefits to it. It starts at the top, where because it crosses a blood-brain barrier, you just immediately feel this energy lift. It's not really like caffeine, but you know, that's like a very loose comparison would be caffeine, just because caffeine gives you energy. Like I think caffeine's a lot more jittery, a lot more kind of spiky, anxious energy. Ketones a lot more smooth. You just feel a nice lift. So you get this like energy, you get the sense of focus. You feel like, if anyone's familiar with like runner's high, or if you're doing an intermittent fast or low carb diet, the way you feel like dialed in, that is largely due to the fact that your body and brain are running on ketones. So you basically jump into runner's high. It's runner's high in a bottle when you take a drink of it. So I like it canonically, like the normal way I have it, just first thing in the morning. It's a really nice way to start out the day. And then I'll have it like a couple times throughout the day for a nice pick me up before a workout or after workout, if I'm rolling into work or before I'm sipping on it right now. Like I'll have it during like a podcast or a board meeting, kind of important situations where I want to be dialed in. It's got a couple other interesting benefits too. So it helps with, it really helps with athletic recovery. So if you work out hard, I'm a big marathoner, triathlete, got a triathlete coming up in a couple of weeks. So if I'm on a bike right afterwards, I'll have my recovery shake and I'll also take a shot of ketones. And what ketones do in a recovery context is they accelerate the rate of recovery, which is really cool. Cause then you can like get back and do it again the next day. They basically like get your body in this really efficient endurance mode because that's when ketones would normally be present. The other benefit is the last one. There's a few, but you got these brain benefits, you got these athletic performance and recovery benefits. The third main bucket I would say is appetite control. So ketones compared to the same amount of calories from other sources like sugar are more satiating. So there was a study done where they fed participants 100 calories of ketones versus 100 calories of sugar, dextrose, and it was blinded. People didn't know what they were having. And they showed that the group that had ketones felt significantly more satiated from the ketones. So not only when they were reporting, hey, how hungry do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10, they felt more satiated, but also when the researchers took the blood ghrelin levels, ghrelin is the hunger hormone, the ketone group had suppressed ghrelin levels. So you feel more satiated. It's kind of like how if people have tried intermittent fasting, it's like, it's funny because like sometimes you're in this mode of being where you haven't eaten in like 2 hours and you're hungry for potato chips. But then like you go on a 2 day fast and in the middle of day one and a half, you're completely fine. And it's like, what happened? Why is it that like sometimes if I haven't eaten in like a couple hours, my stomach is rumbling, but then here I am in the middle of a fast and I'm actually really like sharp and dialed in. And the answer again is ketones. Like when you have this elevated ketones, your body goes into this like efficient endurance mode where you're just not like hangry and you're not on this like sugar addicted cycle and you're just kind of good where you're at. So that's another benefit that people tend to like a lot. It's the appetite control.
Yeah. I will say personally for me, I've been doing it. So when I wake up in the morning, I brush my teeth, I do my tongue scraping, I have a cold shower, and then I get out and I have one of your shots of the ketones with lemon water. And it was funny because after that, I'll do some breath work. And I was literally saying to my husband the other day, I was like, wow, I feel so much more like really clear and like a grounded during my breath work. And, you know, we were like, oh, like, I don't know, maybe it's the change in season. Maybe it's these cold showers are just like really doing it for me the last few days. And I was like, no, like, I feel like it's ever since I started drinking this, because it started like a few days ago and I've been taking this, and it's like during this time, like I feel much more dialed in, is like the perfect answer that you gave. Like I do feel more just very dialed in during my breath work, more so than I usually do.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I know I'm into breath work as well. We're doing a big breath work event in a couple of weeks here in LA as well. If you were in town, I'd say come on by.
You would never get rid of me. You would never get rid of me.
But yeah, both subjectively increase your alertness and reduce your stress. So they stack and intensify each other in an interesting way. I'm curious, what kind of breath work have you been doing, or have you been working with a certain app or practice, or how are you going about it?
I've literally just been doing the Wim Hof breath work just from YouTube. I've been into his breath work for a while lately. It's the cold showers as well. But yeah, it's something about taking that drink during it. I was just like, man, I usually feel really good after his breath work sessions, but this is just like, it's a whole different kind of alertness or being dialed in that I was just like, I feel like it's this drink. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like CBD. It's one of those things where like, you don't always know that it's working until it's worked.
Yeah.
And then when it's out of your system, you're like, I feel like there's something missing. And then as soon as you do it again, you're like, oh, I know what it is.
Yeah. 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 That's a really cool experience. It's interesting because it's opening up this new map of like if you look at the map of psychoactives or things that affect your brain in different ways, right? You have like this map, right? You have like caffeine will do this, nicotine will do this, psilocybin will do this. Like there's all these maps and like no two things are exactly the same. And you can try to relate to one another. But what's interesting with ketones is that they open up a new territory on that map where it's like, it's kind of like this kind of alertness that you might feel from nicotine gum, or it's kind of like the way you might feel from breathwork is actually one of the most similar things. And that's why I really like stacking it. It's like that way that breathwork makes you feel, it makes you feel energized, but not like a caffeine type of energy, like this other kind of energy. It's like, it's been interesting trying to communicate that to people just from like a brand building perspective. It's like opening up a new territory on this map of how your mind can feel, how your body can feel after taking this product. I mean, the easy answer is like, well, you have to like try it to believe it, but we also try to do other things. Like, I mean, this gets into more how we approach product design and all that, like making the colors on it look like how the product feels like and doing things like that to help convey this new area. And that's part of why I'm so excited. I think that feeling is really nice. And I think that as people are wearing more wearables and more sensitive throughout the day, like I know a lot of people who don't touch caffeine afternoon. Because I don't know about you, right? You're pointing at yourself. Yeah, it's like
I'm that person.
Caffeine has a 6-hour half-life. So if you drink a cup of coffee at 4 p.m., you still have half a cup of coffee in your system at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. So it's like, would you have half a cup of coffee right before going to bed if you're trying to wind down? Like, no, definitely you wouldn't. So people are seeing that now with their Oura Ring, their Apple Watch. They're seeing like, oh, well, my sleep score diminishes if I have caffeine. And then you don't want to be having sugar either. It's like, it's not great to just be like, oh, I'm tired, let me slam some candy. So like, you can do these other things. I think people are like, oh, well, let me go for a walk around the block. Let me get some sunshine. Let me do breath work for 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Let me drink a ketone. Let me try something that's like not kind of revving the lawnmower, like jerking the chain in the wrong way, but is a more like pure, better quality energy that feels more like getting into a flow state rather than trying to like jerk a lawnmower chain and like artificially rev yourself up.
One thing that I kept reading, and it seemed to, maybe I was just picking up on it because once I saw it, I felt like I kept seeing it as a study being done on your website and more information about it is, you know, sometimes people will hear the word like longevity and think, oh, well, you know, it's not really an immediate problem that I have to worry about. But I feel like one thing people consistently struggle with is this idea of sleep. And one thing that I was reading on your website is how much these ketones help with sleep. So can you talk a little bit on like why it would help with sleep? Because I feel like that's one thing that people will do about anything just to get a good night's rest.
Sleep is really interesting. I agree. It's one of the most interesting problems to solve. And it's also interesting because we've come so far as humans, like we've made a lot of technological progress, but I feel like our sleep has gotten worse kind of decade by decade or century by century as we have all these glowing lights in our face and temptations and whatnot. So a lot of people are thinking about sleep. I agree. It's a really good problem to solve. If you can't get your sleep right, then you're really going to be facing an uphill battle in all the other areas of your life. When I think about ketones and sleep, one of the ways that I think about it is like this. Okay, so if it's 11 a.m. and you're feeling dehydrated, you're going to feel tired. If you go and drink some water, you're going to be hydrated and you're going to feel more energetic. At 11 p.m., if you're dehydrated, you're going to have a hard time sleeping. And if you drink some water, it's going to help you go to sleep. So how is it that this water can help you both feel energized at 11 a.m. and help you go to sleep at 11 p.m.? And the answer, of course, is that we have this circadian rhythm and your body is naturally trying to ride this wave throughout the day of this energy rise and this energy fall later in the day. And wherever you're at in your circadian rhythm, your body is doing things. Your body is never shutting off. Your body's always doing metabolism. It's always using water. It's always using metabolic substrates. When you're awake, it's because you're like going and doing things and thinking and lifting and running and doing all those things. When you're winding down for the day, your body's doing all these cleanup tasks, which still take energy. It's like the garbage man is coming to like collect the trash. It still takes energy to clean up the buildup in your brain and your muscles. Like sleep is it's not like you go down to zero when you sleep. Your body's doing a lot of interesting things while you sleep, and you need energy for it. So ketones are more similar to water than they are to like a caffeine, where caffeine is a very specific drug. It's an adenosine blocker. Adenosine is your sleep hormone. Caffeine blocks your sleep hormone, so you don't feel sleepy. So if you take 11 a.m. caffeine, you'll feel really zippy. You take 11 p.m. caffeine, you're going to have an all-nighter. Versus ketones are more like water in the sense that it's this efficient substrate for whatever your body is trying to do at that time. So if you're doing something mentally demanding, ketones will help with that. If you're trying to go to sleep, ketones will help with that. There's actually a really interesting study with really high-end cyclists where they had people cycling for 3 weeks. Again, they did placebo controlled it. So they had one group that was doing ketones, the other that was eating whatever they wanted, but no ketones. And the ketone group, they saw significantly better performance at the end of 3 weeks. They were able to perform significantly better in their time trials at the end of those 3 weeks, like 15% better in their final hour of their time trial. So, and people were having ketones in the ketone group. They were having it 3 times a day, including half an hour before going to sleep. So it's really interesting how ketones help your body to, again, they help your body go into that like endurance, hyper-efficient, like you on the savannah running 8 miles mode, where your body's just like really good at efficiency. It's really good at holding on and rebuilding and like holding on to what you have. And you're able to sleep really well off of it. And you're able to like wake up feeling more refreshed the next day off of it.
As someone who's clearly a very healthy individual and you're a marathon runner, what are some other biohacks that you do that have really moved the needle forward as far as your health and wellness, as far as your fitness, besides doing the ketones? Like, what are things that you're doing continuously, either day in and day out, or even like on a monthly basis? You had mentioned CBD a couple of times. Is that something you're doing maybe at night to help you sleep? Like, what are some of those biohacks that you do?
I think, yes, CBD is super interesting. I like hot saunas a lot for recovery. I think it's interesting nuance between like cold plunges and hot saunas are they're literally opposites on the spectrum, and you can use both in different ways. I'm really a fan of heat therapy, hot saunas. If I have a really hard run and I want to not have to take the next day off and recover, I find that saunas are really effective at accelerating that. Because, and that's actually really interesting. If you're able to cycle for like spend an hour, but you're like 20 minutes in the sauna, 20 minutes cold plunge, or 10 minutes cold plunge, 20 sauna, and like cycling in and out. Because basically what a sauna does is it engorges all your blood vessels. You get like high movement of nutrients and oxygen to all your muscles. That's actually really good for recovery. Cold kind of, it squeezes everything out, compresses all your vessels, like gets all the toxic buildup, all that stuff out. So like doing that back and forth is really helpful. Sometimes I think when people just cold plunge, I will say I'm not a fan of like strict cold plunging just for athletic recovery. Cause I think what you do is you squeeze out all the toxins and maybe your muscles feel better, but I don't think it's optimal for like long-term rebuilding. I think you actually want that like engorgement. You want that like additive flow of nutrients to your muscles. So I think the ultimate, if you have access to such a facility, is the ability to cycle between hot and cold. I've just noticed it. Cause when I get up to high levels of marathoning, like I'm always running. I run every day unless I'm like biking or something. I'm doing something active every day. But when I'm marathoning, I really dial it up. I'm doing 70 miles a week. I don't know how many, it's like 100 plus kilometers a week. And so it starts being really important to like the recovery for tomorrow's run starts the minute that today's run ends. So I'm just like very mindful. Like you have like a special golden hour after you exercise where you really need to eat. Like you have really good sensitivity to nutrition right after you exercise. You need to eat right away. I love the sauna. I love different types of like stretching and weightlifting and just thinking out ahead. How do I start that clock? Like the 23 hour clock until tomorrow's workout starts. So that's something I think a lot about. A couple other things. Another fun one. So I just had a daughter, like she's turning 7 months old. And one thing, yeah, she's adorable. She just had her first food actually over the weekend, and we chose avocado.
Oh, she'd love it.
She loved it, and our
Yeah.
thinking there is like get her palate adopt. She doesn't know what anything tastes like besides breast milk. It's all alien to her. So like start her on. I was very proud to start with her with something keto. Like, and look, I'm not like your crazy. I'm not like a full keto diet person. Like I eat carbs around a lot of my marathon training. I'm not a full keto person. I hope that's come across. I think it's more about metabolic flexibility. Whatever carbs you do eat, burn them off. You don't want to be in carb excess, but I don't think carbs are like the devil either. Anyway, but for my daughter, I'm happy. It's like bananas are very sweet, like mashed up bananas. So if you anchor someone's flavor palate when they're first starting to eat food around like really sweet stuff, it's going to be hard to introduce them to like mushed up salmon, mushed up peas, mushed up avocado. Like start with the more savory, healthy fat type of things. And then like, if you'd like, introduce the more sugary stuff later. Another fun little biohack with our daughter is that, so when she was born, we saved her stem cells. And that's really interesting. Like you basically, the umbilical cord tissue and the placenta, and it's in like a bank and like a cold vault somewhere. And my thinking on that, my wife and I talked about it. Our thinking on it is that there's a lot of understanding around what stem cells can do right now. There's a lot of interesting applications into like Parkinson's or certain types of cancer. And I also think there's so much unknown about stem cells. It's really interesting because, you know, stem cells can potentiate into, in theory, any type of cell in your body. So if you have a meniscus tear at age 17, how do you repair that? Maybe like a small injection of your own. And by the way, your own stem cells are always going to be better than like a foreign stem cell that you need to blood match, or there's some, you know, your own stem cells are always going to be the best. So I think we're at a current level of understanding where it's like, oh, it's pretty reasonable. But I think that I think that by the time my daughter's like 50, 60, 70 years old, I think there's going to be like 10 times as many applications. I think the rate of scientific discovery is accelerating. So I think by the time it's an investment in her future where it's like when she is 50, I think that it will be really cool for her to have her like neonatal stem cells around. So I don't know. I can go on, but
No, I
I'll leave
love
it there
that.
for now. I got a lot of little different little like levers to pull on different biohacks throughout my
No.
routine, my family, all that kind of thing.
I love that. There's so many. Like, I know recently I'm at that age where I feel like everybody's having babies and stuff. And it's interesting to see how many of the moms will keep the placenta afterwards and consume it themselves to help with postpartum. And they say that that study has been really significant in showing like it's really been helping moms with postpartum depression and anxiety. And I mean, there's so much science into it that I can't articulate very well, but that's been really interesting as well. I think there's a ton of health benefits to consuming it either as the mom or the baby or both.
Yeah. I think consuming it is interesting. I think it's more upside to have it later on, but you know, people are free to make their own decision. I think the ability to inject a stem cell into your torn meniscus 30 years down the line is like really interesting. I think if you eat it for a week or two and you have less postpartum symptoms, that's also impactful. I'm not going to say like I don't know, here to apply judgment on what other people are doing. But my sense is like if there's like this 1 or 2 week window where, okay, you're probably going to be fine if you don't consume your own placenta or stem cells for those 2 weeks. But then if like there could be something later on down the line where it's like an unbounded upside to how much they could help you with a certain outcome later in life. And that to me was what was really interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing. You were mentioning all these other biohacks that you do. I'm just curious if there's anything else that you have found that has made a really profound performance in for your health and well-being and for your athletic journey, if you will. One thing that I truly noticed when I started implementing in it, and it was from someone who was also a marathon runner, was a caffeine delay. And I feel like I was kind of unconsciously doing it. Like I wouldn't wake up. There are people who wake up and the moment their feet hit the ground, they need caffeine. And I've never been that person, but I didn't really understand the science behind delaying it by, an hour and a half or 2 hours is optimal. Is there anything along the lines that you do that you have really felt has moved the needle forward for you?
Caffeine delay is super interesting. So if I'm understanding, it's basically like wake up and then wait a couple of hours before having any caffeine. I think it makes sense, right? Because your body is naturally doing this wake up process of increasing cortisol and increasing, like if you go and see some sunshine, like your body's naturally, like let your body do its natural wake up routine.
Yeah.
And then put some caffeine on top of that if you want. I think that's really interesting. I do similar. I'll often have caffeine after the sun comes up, after I go for a run, and then I'll use it to kind of turbo into the day. I don't have more than one cup a day. Like I just hard limit it at one cup.
Yeah.
Finish it all the way before noon. I don't know. Some other fun stuff. I mean, without going into like too much detail, I love to do like a plant-based medicine journey every quarter or so.
Okay.
Every one or two quarters, just kind of like spring cleaning.
Yeah.
I think it's really helpful. It's really interesting being around my daughter because she has no constructs, right? She's just pure blank page and she's taking it all in and she's going to learn certain things, and certain constructs in our world are really helpful, and you build upon them and you learn, okay, well, that's what a P&L business forecast looks like, or this is how the education system works, or this is how to, you know, make friends and influence people, whatever. Like you learn different constructs in your life, and some of those are good and some of those are bad, right? Sometimes we have like negative things, or we get hurt in a certain way and we build up scar tissue, and then we have a construct around that where we become untrusting, or we become mean, or we become hurtful towards other people. Like we build up good, both good and bad constructs depending on the way we live our lives. And it's helpful, I find, to go back to that kind of blank page mode where you're able to like kind of see yourself for who you are, zoom out, and come back in, land back into yourself, and choose what constructs that continue to serve you or not. Like you can just choose to simply let go of some anger that you have towards someone who's no longer in your life, or you can choose to that, you know what, I'm afraid of this big step I'm going to take, but I already know that's what I want to do. So why do I keep being afraid? Let me just do it. Like you, I like that kind of just like letting go, untangling. It's like a relax. It's like when you're feel like a knot in your muscle and you work it out. I feel like the mental equivalent of that on a quarterly basis is really helpful. And I think that's helped me a lot with marathon running. I think one of the things that was really personally an interesting part of that to grapple with was that, look, like I'm not going to win the Olympics. I'm not going to get paid to be a professional runner. I'm not that good. I'm like top percentile, but there's levels to this game, right? Like you got to be top like 0.01 percentile, 0.001 percentile to be like only two people in the entire United States and two people from Canada go to the Olympics, right? Like two. So anyway, you got to be really good. But you know, I grappled with like, okay, well, why am I doing this? Like, does it really matter if I run a 3-hour marathon or a 2-hour 50-minute marathon or 2-hour 40-minute marathon? Like, who cares? Like, do I care? Like, if I'm not going to go pro, it's very easy to go on this slippery slope of like, don't bother. But then it's like, oh, but I really want to, but I'm never going to be good enough to be in the pro. Coming to terms with all that and just learning to accept the beauty of mastery. And like shutting down all the noise and just saying, look, like I had a big insight around just mastery itself is beautiful. Whatever you're doing in life, if you're playing the violin, cool. If you're making an Etsy shop, cool. If you're a loving parent, cool. If you're making whatever you're doing, just do the hell out of it. And like, don't ask, it should not need a further why. It just a beautiful part of the human condition that, hey, look, if you're going to run a marathon, you run it as elegantly and as quickly and as smooth as you possibly can. And that in and of it, and it doesn't matter what minutes the time clock shows at the end of it. That is almost the after effect, but just like, there's something about mastery. There's something about doing something as well as you possibly can. And I think it's been helpful to me to be able to zoom out on my own self, my own experiences, and get some perspective, and using different plants that humans have been using for millennia has been a really interesting part of that for me.
I'm curious, what does that look like? Are you doing mushrooms? Are you doing ayahuasca? Are you going off into the woods by yourself for a week at a time? Like, what? We've talked about plant medicine before on the podcast. So if you're like, I'm really nervous of what people will think, like, people are always interested. I myself am always curious about this because I've never done it. So I always have like a million and one questions for people. Like, what does that exactly look like when you do it?
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of different compounds out there. I'm looking at, there's a like doctor MD assisted ketamine therapy that's taking off. I think there's a few different businesses that are running this model where basically if you have certain MD that diagnoses you with something, you can come in for ketamine assisted therapy. So that's something I'm looking into. I haven't tried that before, but very curious. Psilocybin is, to me, has always been the most interesting because it has the kind of age old story to it where it seems like it's been around for a while. Like a lot of like the more newer synthetic things, like they might be interesting, compelling, and I don't want to poo poo them, but I think mushrooms have just been around for so long that there's a very like timeless story to them that to me makes me feel more comfortable around them, where again, like other stuff might be also fine, safety profile, but there's a lot of evidence showing that humans have been having psilocybin for a long time. There's this stoned ape theory that I don't know if you've heard of, where like 40, 50,000 years ago, there's this rapid period of human brain development where our brains got a lot bigger, a lot faster. And the fossil record shows that we were doing a lot of endurance hunting at that time. We were also eating a lot of magic mushrooms at that time. And it kind of makes sense where it's like, I mean, this is what the stone ape theory says. And it makes a lot of sense to me that like the first human experience was actually an ape that was high off of mushrooms and had this like high touching into like higher consciousness and like looked at their own hand and looked at the ape across from them. And was like, wow, does that person think the way I think? Do they have feelings the way I do? Like, do they understand? Can I communicate? Can I put what's in my head into their head? Can I see what's inside of their head using language and symbols and systems? So there's something really interesting there that happened where human brain size and human just capability, our use of tools, the types of diet that we were having all accelerated in this very fast period where the fossil record also seems to show that people are having magic mushies on a regular basis. So to me, that's like very interesting that like humans have been kind of participants in our own evolution, that like you can do certain things in your life that take you to a different place. And then like your next generation kind of springboard off of that because of the advances that were made in the current generation.
No, I find that so fascinating. I love that. I feel like in our modern society where we kind of want the new modern things in the world, but we always seem to keep going back to like when we were hunter gatherers, or you know, the, you know, fulvic minerals being a popular thing now, fulvic acid, shilajit, you know, that's starting to get like a lot of hype and stuff now. And it's like these things have been around for a long, long, long time. It's just we're now putting like a new spin on it. And even though it's an old school thing, or things that we were doing back in the beginning of time, if you will.
What do you think of shilajit? It's something I've heard, like, because I've heard of a lot of everything, but I don't hear a lot of people mention shilajit.
I'm in the wellness space. If you're like, drink this, it tastes like even garbage, but it will help you live a disease-free life. Like, give it to me. I will take it. Tell me all the things. I love this type of stuff. And it's interesting to me because it's something that, you know, it's from the Himalayan mountains. Like, it makes sense to me, but I've been trying more of fulvic acid, fulvic minerals over shilajit, but it's interesting to see, like, do you bounce around from it? Can you do one of these things? You know, I don't, it's too much. Like, I'm just, you know,
apparently it's really big with the like Nepalese.
Yeah.
Like the Sherpa culture, and like, they swear by it. It helps with altitude sickness. So that's cool. And I think that general concept of lindiness, right? The idea that the longer something has been around, the longer it will continue to be around. Mm-hmm. If people don't know, this idea of Lindy came out of Broadway, like in New York, out of the early 20th. Yeah. So a lot of people may not know this idea of Lindy. It came out of New York in the early 20th century, New York City, where there's this Lindy Cafe in Broadway in the theater district in New York. And there was this concept that if a musical has been around for a short amount of time, it's likely to only last a short amount of time. Whereas the musical that's been open for 5 years, people probably love it and it's going to be open for another 5 years. So that the easiest way to predict if something's going to continue to be in the culture, in the zeitgeist, is looking backwards at how long it's been around. Like, like alcohol, love it or hate it, it's been part of our society forever. I would say the same about meat as well. Like that there's aspects of our culture that have just been around for so long that if humans have been eating alcohol and meat for, I don't know, 100,000 years, it's probably going to last another 100,000 years versus like something newer, not as likely. I don't think it's a hard and fast rule because, look, I don't think the internet's going to go away. I don't think airplanes going to go away. I think it's an interesting basic framework, but I don't think it's totally complete. I think it implies why. I think it's a good just general sense of a good general filter across what we're eating or not to, hey, has this been around for a while or not? But I think there's things that kind of rhyme with the past, but they're different from the past. If that makes sense. It's like, mm-hmm. like flying on an airplane is not Lindy. Like it's only been around for like commercial air travel has only been popular the last like 30 years. And then it's been around Wright Brothers was like a little over 100 years ago. So it hasn't been around that long, but does that mean you would bet against it? Or would you say, hey, look, like air travel actually taps into this feeling of connectivity and belonging within our community, and as culture has evolved, as our community is dispersed around the globe, you went to college here, it's a separate place from your hometown, you have friends in ABC different cities, so of course you got to travel around, and that sense of community and belonging is itself Lindy. It just used to look like jogging from one tribe to the other, and now it looks like getting on an airplane. So like an airplane is not Lindy, but like the spirit it is. And you could say the same thing about other aspects of modern technology, like Bitcoin. Maybe it's not Lindy, but the idea of currency is Lindy. Like we've had currency forever or for, you know, tens of thousands of years. And so, okay, is it possible that there could just be a newer, better manifestation of this Lindy concept? Like, yeah, I'm open to it.
Maybe you'll have to think about this on your next plant-based journey and get back to me with your insights of what you came up with.
Will do.
I would love to know if people want to try out your ketone drink, if they want to learn a little bit more about it, if they want to read some studies on it, where can everybody go and find it? Where can they order it online? Is there one product that you think is like gold standard, try this first and go from there?
Yeah. Check out hvmn.com. We have a ton of pointers to research. We put a lot of it on our site. We point to a lot of the studies. We've done a lot of research around ketones. We also acknowledge there's a whole body of work where people have been looking at ketones for a long time. So we've made our website a really helpful resource around that. You can check out Ketone IQ. We're on social media at HVMN, on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. Myself personally, I'm also out there. My handle is at BDM_runner on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. Say hello. Love hearing what people are building, what you're working on, or you're training for something or trying something out. Love hearing from people. So definitely drop a line.
Perfect. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes. Before I leave you, is there a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you incredible value, whether it's about health and wellness or about personal development or even training for anything, something that's brought you a lot of value that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, I would say one of my favorite books is Born to Run, which I definitely recommend people checking out if they haven't. It's a story about this guy who goes and checks out the Tarahumara tribe in Mexico, where they just run 15 miles a day between these small villages that are really spaced out. And they're just like extremely good runners, and they run almost barefoot. They run with like very thin sandals. So big proponent of like barefoot natural movement patterns, humans being born to run. And they talk about, he also weaves in the larger story about humans as endurance hunters. Humans can actually go further than horses in a 24-hour period, horses need to stop more often than humans. Humans, if you just have like some water, you can run, you can outrun a horse over the course of a day. There's a lot of interesting factoids about humans being born to run on our just body geometry, anthropological evidence, interesting tribal information. Born to Run's awesome. And then on a more spiritual level, I really like this book called Be Here Now by Ram Dass. Mm-hmm. People have heard of him. He's a big philosopher from kind of second half of the 20th century, brought about a lot of the, like, and he articulates in a framework that is really understandable by Western constructs, but he articulates a lot of Eastern constructs about, like, getting outside of your own head. And, you know, if you want to make it beautiful outside, make it beautiful inside. Like, he has a lot of really good articulations, I would say, of Eastern philosophies. And I think he's unrivaled.
Yeah.
Be Here Now by Ram Dass. Like, you've heard of him.
It was devastating to me when he passed away a few years ago, because he is such an interesting guy. And I love even knowing bits and pieces of how he started out as a professor and the studies that he did on, like, you know, what do drugs do that, like, meditation can do. And I think he did a lot of, like, unorthodox studies, but it was just very cool to see the results that he was getting from them.
Yeah, he did so many wild things. So that people know, like, this guy Ram Dass, his name is, like, Richard.
Yeah.
And he's from the Bronx, and then had a very successful academic career. He was a Harvard professor, Stanford professor, like, you know, top in his class in psychology, just really, really ace guy. And at some point he started getting into the cutting edge at that time, was looking at LSD and different ways of, hey, like, instead of, you know, pathologizing people with mental disorders all the time, can we actually, like, get them to unpack what's going on? And are there certain drugs that, where it's not like you have to take this antidepressant every day for the rest of your life, but can we do, like, a deeper session with LSD and unpack what's going on, unpack some trauma, and, like, reset, they relay the foundation going forward? That was a cutting edge. And then from there he went to India and started looking at different Eastern modalities of thought. And it was really interesting. One of the stories he tells, there's a whole podcast. I recommend people check it out on Spotify. It's like these hour long. It's really cool. You're listening to this guy from, like, 1979, like, give a lecture on, like, the mind. Mm-hmm. And it's really timeless. If we're talking about, like, timeless stuff, it's like what he's saying is, like, so much is, like, as salient as any currently living person, or more so. And one of the stories he tells is that he always saw this, like, overlap between meditation and psychedelics, that, like, meditation can kind of get you to that same spot of blankness, getting away from all the constructs, seeing yourself from who you are, being one with the universe, right? You are the universe experiencing itself, all that. And he tells a story about how, like, he had his guru, like, some very wise, holy guy in India. And he tried giving this guy acid one time, and it did nothing. And the guy was just already so, like, blissed out and, like, at harmony with it all. And, like, you know, just very simple guy, eats, like, lentil soup three times a day, just kind of smiles and loves the butterflies. Like, you tried giving this guy, this, like, very at peace, harmonic guy, acid, and it just did nothing. And to the point of the story there being that it really does kind of tie together, where there's a lot of different ways to get to this spot of inner peace. And I don't know if Ram Dass ever became, like, anti-drug at the end of his life, but he was like, it's an interesting way to get a glimpse into the church, but there's other, you can also walk through the front door and other types of practices in your life. I think he always appreciated that certain psychoactives helped him to get there and glimpse in, but he also appreciated, I think, later in life, that there was also a way of being that let you kind of, like, stay inside of the church too.
Michael, I feel like I could keep talking to you forever about all of this stuff. This has been such an incredible conversation. I highly suggest people try that Ketone IQ. Like I said, I've been doing it leading up into this podcast, and I've personally really felt that sense of clarity, awareness, just groundingness with it. And I would love for people to go and check it out and to check you out online. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thanks, Megan. Yeah, really loved where this went to. I wasn't expecting to go all there, but it was a great conversation. Really appreciate you taking the time and just riffing on things together today.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.